CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us, as we always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? And we find so much of what we do here anymore is simply made up. Somebody's idea, somebody's concept, not really what the Bible says. Again, where do these crazy ideas come from? Well, I believe they come from the devil, but as we find them filtering down through the different ways, we find them coming through oftentimes books, the internet, different people's ideas. And again, this is why Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, going back to the Bible, the rock of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Hope that would encourage every one of you again to be about your Father's business in the days that we're living. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, Morning Times here. We have with us Daryl Skinner from A Chosen Generation from Honolulu, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this beautiful Thursday, enjoying the program all the time as the phone calls come in, the great questions that people have. It's so exciting to see that they want to grow in the Word of God and be blessed, draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, fall deeper in love with their Heavenly Father, and be used of the Lord to be soul winners and disciples. So it's great to be with you and looking forward to the calls that are coming in today.
Amen. So if you want to be a part of the program, again, we've got some lines open. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call, and you can be part of the program. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Vehe on the line from Idaho. Hi, and welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, how can we help?
I want to know, do you know how it says in the Bible that Jesus loves everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Does he love Satan?
Well, Jesus made Satan. The Bible says all things were made by him, speaking of Jesus Christ, and without him, not anything that's made was made. So I believe that Jesus made the devil, of course, Lucifer, then before he rebelled against God. And because God is good, he gave the angels what's called the ability to choose right from wrong, to do what God wants or not to do what God wants. And when Satan, Lucifer, rebelled against the Lord, we find this in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, that the Bible says he took on a different nature. He went from a servant of God to somebody that was in rebellion to God. And the Bible says that God will punish him someday. Now, it isn't really based so much on love, if you will, but upon what's right. Now, we know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, John 3:16. But we remember that Satan, Lucifer, always has saw the majesty and the glory of God. Always saw the raw power of God. And yet in all that, he chose to rebel against God. So I don't know that God hates Satan, but God's a just God who will deal with Satan according to his deeds. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, great question there, young one. And it's exciting as we look to the Word of God. As God created, as Mike said, all the angels in heaven, he gave them that freedom of choice. So they experienced the love of God. They experienced the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and all that God has to offer. But they chose not to receive it. They chose not to follow it. They chose not to give back love to God. Instead, a third of the angels decided that following Satan, his name was Lucifer, as Mike said, following him, they decided to rebel against God. And now they're in the process of thinking that they can overthrow God, they can overthrow Jesus, and they're going to be reigning and ruling the creation of God. And this is what they believe with all their hearts they can do this. And Satan, even he knows the Bible, he knows the book of Revelation, he knows all the things that are written about him, that he's going to be cast in the lake of fire, but he still doesn't believe it. And he wants to be a, one who rebels against God to conquer God. He's full of pride. He's, Jesus called him a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. And so what's going to happen to him? Well, the wrath of God will fall upon him because God is a just God. And when you're going to come against him like this and try to do evil, he's going to bring justice and get rid of the evil. So they experience the love of God, like all mankind experiences the love of God as we are born and so forth. And yet we have a choice to make. Are we going to love God or are we going to rebel against God? And that's where the Lord Jesus came in and proved to us how deeply God loves each and every one of us by going to the cross and dying for our sins. This is the manifestation of the pure, great, sacrificial love of God for all humanity. But we have to make a decision. Are we going to respond in loving him and following him? Are we going to continue to rebel against him to the point of death? If that be the case, then we'll follow Satan to that lake of fire, to hell. But if we follow Jesus, we follow him all the way to heaven. Hopefully that helps you, young one. Great question.
Yeah, when you stop to realize that it's not that God didn't love the devil. It's that the devil chose not to love him. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem comes from, Vehe. And so I hope that helps.
Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. I want to send you out some books and DVDs, things I think you'll really enjoy. How old are you, Vehe?
7.
Wow. Well, that's a really good question for somebody 7 years old. Keep reading your Bible. And if you get any more questions, you always be sure to call us because we're here for you. Let's go to Daniel in Arizona. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How can we help?
I'm attending a church in Cottonwood, and it's an affiliate of Assembly of God. And I found out that they have a female ordained pastor. And I know what the Bible says about women preaching. And my question is, should I stay in the church or should I try to find a better Bible-believing church?
Well, Paul says that he would not permit a woman to usurp the authority of a man. You don't find in the Old Testament any women priests, at least serving Yahweh. You don't find any women pastors in the New Testament. So based on what we call biblical consistency, we don't find women pastors setting the direction of the church. And I have problems with that because of what Paul says, that it was not a cultural issue, but it was a gender issue. Now, yes, I know in a day and an age where this seems to be a buzz topic, but nevertheless, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. Adam ate of the tree willingly. He was in rebellion. But Eve was deceived. And so because of that, this is why we don't find Old Testament or New Testament people in women, as an example, leading a congregation or priests in the temple in the Old Testament. This is why I believe that today we don't as well. Now, there are some churches that kind of disregard what Paul says and that she was deceived. Again, Paul, Adam ate of the tree willingly. He was in willful disobedience, but Eve was in being deceived. Now, because of that, this is where we get into bad doctrine. You look today, how many women have started cults? Mary Baker Eddy, Ellen G. White. You find these women that have these kooky ideas on scripture and mislead literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So this is why I believe Paul writes that. And again, based upon biblical consistency, you don't find that. Now, do I believe a woman has the right to share in a church, even on a Sunday morning? Yeah. I know a church here locally that has got a couple women sharing on Sunday morning on Mother's Day. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think any man is being threatened by that. But it's where the woman sets the direction of the church. I believe this is what Paul is talking about there in Timothy. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look at our Lord Jesus, when he chose the disciples or the apostles, they were all men. So he continued the standard of men being leaders of the church. And then when you get to the pastoral epistles, as Mike was just quoting from and talking about, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the qualifications for the shepherd of the church, the pastor, is that he would be a man. And so you don't see any qualifications for a woman to be leading. And thus we follow the Bible. And I think you have to make a decision for yourself. Is my church, what they're doing, is it biblical or not? If it's not, then I'd probably go find a church that is biblical and attach myself to them, because they hold the standards of the Word of God very highly. What about women in the church? Women do wonderful works in missions. They do wonderful work in the children's ministry, and they do wonderful works in a whole variety of service ministries. They're incredibly valuable to the church. They're phenomenal in so many ways. But when it comes to pastoring a church, God wants the man to lead, and he wants men in charge. And that's just how it is. I know in Titus, it talks about the older women. Titus chapter 2, it talks about the older women teaching the younger women, and to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. There's nothing wrong with a women's ministry. My wife is in charge of our women's ministry here. They do wonderful things throughout the church and throughout the year. And it's exciting. But again, we get back to who's going to lead the church. God has established the order that the men are to be pastors and they're to lead the church. That's just how it is. Jesus set the example. We see it in the book of Acts, and we see it in the epistles. Now we have what's called sound biblical doctrine. It's the trifold of sound doctrine, the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then we have the epistles. So it is the Word of God. That's just how it is. So we follow it. Mike?
Amen. I hope that helps you.
It does. I was at a Bible study last night at the church, and they were kind of endorsing Joyce Myers and some other false teachers, and that kind of concerns me, because I read where a little leaven's a whole lump, and I'm trying to get God's input on this so that I can make the right decision.
Yeah, I think it's very good, Daniel, that you are weighing these things, and I am always skeptical of certain ministerial groups, pastors, and whatever, that people acclaim that have some bad doctrine. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when you look at Joyce Myers and her teaching, she's joined hands, of course, with the health and wealth preachers. And when you, which is not a gospel message for today. I'm not saying that everything she teaches is bad, but I'm just saying is that's where she aligns herself. And thus, when you have the health and wealth teachers saying you, if you're sick, you have sin in your life, or you don't have enough faith to be healed, that's false doctrine, as well as God wants all of the king's kids to be rich and wealthy, and you should, and then they get to the point of, dogs have puppies and cats have kittens and God has little gods. You're a little god. You can confess whatever you want out of your mouth and you're going to receive it. No. We're not little gods. We're born again Christians. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? And if people get sick, it could just be old age. It could be just got something, got
genetics,
a cancer,
yeah,
whatever it is. And so that's just life. So, this is why we're not going to promote someone like a Joyce Myers who aligns themselves with these types of teachers. Mike?
Hope that helps, Daniel.
It does. Fantastic. God bless you both.
Stay online if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs. If you'd like to give us a call, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. You can be part of the program today. We've got some lines open. We have Joel on the line. Bellingham, Washington. Hi, welcome.
That's it, Bellingham. Hey, guys. Hey, when Jesus got off the cross, went to preach to the captives in Hades or Sheol, my question is, what happened to the next 20 generations where the word wasn't out around the world yet? Are those folks going to be risen up for the Bema seat? Or are they going to be first when we're raptured? Or are they going to have to sit and wait till the end of the millennium and for judgment at the great white throne? So I'm talking about the folks that were born after Jesus went to preach, so to speak, to the captives.
Okay, your thoughts.
Well, if I'm understanding you correctly, are you talking about after Jesus died, rose again, and then ascended to heaven, we then have the time of Pentecost, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The gospel message starts in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and people are being saved. And the Bible says when someone dies as a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you're immediately will find yourself in heaven. Now, we're going to get our glorified bodies for the heavens and the earth at the rapture of the church. All previously, every believer that has died before the rapture, they're waiting for that glorified body. Now, they're spirit and soul in heaven. They're recognizable. For example, Elijah and Moses were recognizable on the Mount of Transfiguration. So they are recognizable. We have Jesus tell the historical story of Abraham and the poor beggar Lazarus and the rich man. They were all recognizable. And so when we go to heaven, we'll all be recognizable, but we are going to get this glorified body that we'll need when we return with the Lord at his second coming to reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. So there's a bit of a misnomer that people think that when believers die, they go to soul sleep, which is a total false doctrine, or they, you know, they're just waiting in purgatory, which is another false doctrine, or they're in limbo, which is another false doctrine. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as well as in Philippians and so forth. So, Mike, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, no, I think his question was
did I miss it?
What about people who die that have not heard about Jesus Christ? Where do they go when they die? And, of course, waiting the great white throne judgment. The Bible says, when you seek me, you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart. I think it's really amazing how I've talked to people that found the Lord. Actually, the Lord found them as they began to seek him. People that are in even cults, Islam and other things, when they really say, I want to know who you are, God, the God has even revealed himself in dreams. But the question I believe Joel had was, where do people go that, because there's no Abraham's bosom now, where do people go that did not or has not heard the name of Christ? Your thoughts?
Well, when people die without Jesus, without belief, faith in God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, they would go to a place called Hades. And Hades is a holding tank for all non-believers throughout all of human history. And that there'll come a time when they're going to be brought forth to the great white throne judgment of God. That's at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And they will be judged for all their sins. The Bible says books will be opened on their lives. And every sin they've ever committed, every time they've rejected God as God was ministering to their hearts and revealing himself to them, it's all going to be recorded. God is we talk about RAM, you know, for computers, random access memory. He's got the random access memory in books on each person's life, and it's all going to be revealed at that great white throne judgment. And then for what they've done against God or against humanity, they'll be judged for and cast in the lake of fire, and they'll receive that much judgment. Lake of fire we commonly call hell. But so this is what the outcome will be for them. So right now when someone dies without God, without Christ, that is, they go to Hades and they're waiting for the judgment of the great white throne. And then they're actually being tormented now, but the torment will be even greater as they find themselves being cast into the lake of fire and hell. Mike?
Hope that answers it for you, Joel.
Well, almost, kind of, sort of.
Okay, hit us up, man.
What's that? Oh, yeah. To elaborate a bit. Paul went out and, the word got passed around most of Turkey and Macedonia and parts of Greece and so forth. But you've got 20 generations there from that point on until now where we didn't have internet. We didn't even have printed Bibles. We had a few goatskins. So the word did not get out all the way around the world. So I'm not talking about people who the word came to and rejected the word. I'm talking that there was close to 20 generations or more of people who just never had an opportunity to hear the word. So how they could be being tormented because they did not hear the word, that's my question.
Well, Mike, if I could just jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
The idea is that God is unfair, and that's a false idea. God is fair throughout all of human history. The Bible says all of creation reveals God, the glory of God, as well as the conscience reveals God, as well as the law of God has been written in every human heart. And all of humanity has the opportunity to come to salvation, to come to faith in God, which if it's before Jesus came, they had faith in a Messiah to come, a Savior, looking forward to that. God instills it within people's hearts and lives. And as well as after Christ died and rose again, there's still that need of a Savior. And it's ingrained in every human heart. And they can either rebel against that, what has been ingrained in the human heart for salvation, or they can come to salvation and be saved. I've always, you know, people ask the question, well, what about that tribal person down in the Congo, in the darkest parts of Africa, you know, in the jungle or the Amazon, you know? Well, if God says, for God so loved the world, he cares about everybody. He wants everyone to come to salvation. So if any of these folks want to know God and seek God, God will provide a missionary or provide a dream, as Mike shared, or an angel could come to them. God is more than able to. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. That's his heart. And so much so his own son dies on the cross. So this is what we find. Every generation has an opportunity to come to God by faith and know him. And God is very just and fair with everybody, and he wants them all to be saved. Mike?
Yeah. So, you know, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save those which are lost. And I believe, again, people that I've talked to that had really no religious background understanding, when they called out to God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me, he did. And I believe that's the way that works universally. And the idea, again, where there's no Sheol to go to, like Abraham's bosom, for those that completely have not understood who Christ was, yet love God, I believe this, they still go to the place of the dead. Now, we don't know more than certainly people that died in their wickedness are in torment awaiting the great white throne judgment. But, you know, Daryl, I think part of his question is, do you think that people who were seeking after God may not have known the name of Jesus, not understood that he died on the cross for them, but they know that there was a Savior that they needed that they didn't know? When they die, do they go to the torment side of Abraham's bosom, or is there lesser degrees? Now, something to remember, the Bible says some will be beaten with many stripes and some with few. So we do, and I do believe, that there are degrees of hell in eternity. Because of that statement that seems to indicate. Now, it's all eternal separation from God. It's all going to be bad, but how bad is it going to be? And I do believe that there are people who love God that don't know maybe his name, but they know of a Savior that was revealed to them. Now, again, the question is, where do they go, Daryl? Do you think that they go to Sheol, waiting the great white throne judgment, in torment, waiting for their books, waiting for their understanding of God to be weighed out? Or your thoughts?
Well, we know from history throughout the scriptures that if any man really wants to know God, God will reveal himself to them. And whether it be in Abraham, who was, you know, he was involved with other gods, but he was Abram at the time, then he became Abraham, father of many. And God, he wanted to know God. And if anybody wants to know God, the Creator, because it's manifested all around us, it's manifested within our own hearts. And so it's important to realize that God is in the salvation business, going back to Adam and Eve. When they sinned against him, he sacrificed the animals and so forth and clothed them and covered their shame. And then they knew there was a lineage that was taking place. Abel was killed, and then there's Seth. And the history of God and creation and all these things was transferred. These people lived 900 years and so forth, and this information is transferred from family member to family member to family member, and the flood came, and the family member. All this information is available for all of humanity. And so at the time of as people die today without Jesus, they go to Hades. They're waiting for the final great white throne judgment, and they'll be judged. And can we say that, well, what about this person in, like I said, in the Amazon jungle? What about them? Well, they can get saved. God is in the salvation business. So otherwise, he couldn't write, "For God so loved the world." Jesus couldn't speak that way. I don't know if I'm following you, Mike, with this, but I kind of seem like I'm repeating myself a bit. Mike, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and we have to remember that you know, all the Saul then was really believing that he was serving God. He thought he was doing God a service by killing Christians, and Jesus found him on the road to Damascus, laid him out. We remember Peter didn't know if it was okay to go to be with the Gentiles. And we remember God spoke to him in a dream, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," as he saw the sheet come down from heaven. And so when we look at this, because God has a way of doing his will. Now, again, if you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came on the believers and came upon others that were there, we remember the people saying, "How is it that we hear them speak in our own dialects the wonderful things of God?" So God's still in the supernatural business. And I believe that God has ways of communicating if we'll let him do that. And so, again, I go back to the verse, "When you seek me, you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart." I know God will get the message to the person, whether through a dream, a person, paper, a Bible, but he's not without a witness. Hope that helps, Joel. Stay online, send you out books and DVDs. Coming up on a break, everyone. We'll be back for more right after this.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
And I saw my baby on the sonogram picture. He had a little halo around his head. And I heard his heartbeat. And seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you, who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Terry Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon. And if you're in Hawaii on the Big Island, south of Hilo tonight, we're going to continue our study in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, the bold judgments. Boy, you don't want to miss out on this because, again, you're going to find out what you do get to miss out on by being with the Lord in the rapture. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight. at Sure Foundation Church, located on the way to Pahoa from Hilo, there on Highway 130 on the right-hand side of the road. The white picket fence goes around the church there, and we're going to get together tonight, 6 to 7 o'clock, studying God's Word. Love to see you there. Love to meet you. And again, this special time that we just have in looking at the book of Revelation. And so we just want to encourage it. Robin and Mitch Mingo will be at the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday morning in Twin Falls, Idaho. And again, what a grand time it always is when our missionaries are there with us. And so we look forward to being with them as well. And then, again, as we look at all these different things going on in the world, going back to our last caller, you know, what about the person that's never heard about the gospel? That's what the question really was. Where do they go when they die? Well, it's interesting that the book of Romans addresses this very topic in chapter 1, that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. Well, that's kind of an oxymoron. The invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, but there is a natural order in which all people observe. And either you can write that off as pure luck, wow, isn't nature great, or ain't evolution amazing, or to look a little deeper and realize these things just couldn't have happened. And who is this person, this God, this thing that built everything that we see? And so again, I believe Romans chapter 1 for our last caller really goes into depth on this particular topic. And so if you'll spend some time looking at Romans 1, that will give you a good understanding of what God does with people who've not heard the gospel, what their responsibility is once God begins to show and reveal to them who he is. So again, Romans chapter 1, to answer your question, we kind of ran out of time there, 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, got some lines open here, and we're going to go to Joan in Missouri. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Oh, sitting here, I listen every day, driving home from work.
Wonderful.
And the in-depth questions, I'm new to being a good Christian.
Wonderful.
I need suggestions on a Bible. I have bought, I don't know how many, and I get so confused. If there is like a Bible for dummies.
Well, we're all dummies when we start. But you know what? Learning about who God is, his great love for us, the things that he endeavors to do through our lives as we become his hands and feet on this earth, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What an awesome opportunity that we have as people who love God to be his hands and feet and to get his work done on this earth. That's why I'm always leery, as we mentioned earlier, about some of these different doctrines and ideas where God becomes my Santa Claus. I use my confession words and God's will then bends to mine. Friends, that's not Christianity. That's witchcraft. It really is. Because, see, we're not here for my kingdom come, my will be done. We're here because of his kingdom come, his will be done. That's what makes us Christians, is we've changed the purpose for our life, and God strengthens us to do his will. So we need encouragement. Where do we get that? Well, again, we get it from fellowship. We get it from church. But again, as you said, Joan, I want to get it from God's Word. What's a good Bible to read? I personally like the New King James Version. I think it's a very good Bible. I also like New American Standard. I think both of those are very good, easy-to-read Bibles that the message of the gospel gets through. Your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%, Mike. And the only thing you can do, Joan, and what, number one, is congratulations on becoming
Amen.
A Christian and entering into the family of God and knowing you're going to heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing that you can do is a lot of times I have these Bible apps you can put on your phone or your computer. I have one of them that's really nice. It's called the Promise Bible. and you can listen to the message. And so it's got a little bit of reenactment or actors that are kind of talking a bit and a little bit of noises in the background about, you know, you might hear some sheep band and so forth. So, but it's kind of a neat thing too, to help you just listen and learn and grow. The other thing I would always encourage that someone who's new to Christ is to get into a new believers class, and hopefully there could be one available at the church you're attending, and get into that class and learn the foundations of the faith and learn what we call sound doctrine. And so, you know, they'll teach you about God, about the Trinity, about the deity of Christ, about faith, about prayer and so forth, and that you can trust the word of God. I know that's how we do our class here. And so it's very important that you do that. Everybody needs a good foundation underneath their feet of knowing what the Bible teaches in regards to sound biblical doctrine, and then also to develop their relationship with the Lord Jesus. And what does that mean? So Mike, I agree with 100%. New King James is what I love. I teach out of New American Standard is also very good. And just, you know, that Bible app, Promise Bible, is really good. There's other ones out there, but that's just one that came to my mind right now. And it's kind of a fun little Bible app, and you get to listen to the whole Bible. Mike?
I hope that helps, Joan.
It does a whole bunch, and I bless both of you, and the Lord be with you.
Well, the Lord bless you. Joan, stay on line. Send you out some books, some DVDs, a little book called Time to Grow I wrote that might be very encouraging to you. And again, for everybody, whenever we send the package out, you don't get on a mailing list that you are badgered forever and ever and ever for money and things like that. We don't do that. The only reason we ask for your address is to send you the books, DVDs that we give everybody that calls in. We don't turn that list over to the God Squad and local churches come out and hound you for endlessly forever. We don't do that. We just simply want to get the materials to you. And if you need more of them, let us know. We're here for you. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. Let's go to Frank, Triple Army Medical Center, Hawaii. Aloha.
Hi. Well, I'm not from the medical center, but hi. But I had a question about from a few callers ago. My radio station got real staticky, so I didn't hear everything. But when you're talking about Joyce Meyer and that whole situation,
yes,
about the health and wealth. So I always thought, I mean, I know there is an extreme you can go to with the health and the wealth, but I always thought that God, Jesus, does want us to be healthy and does want us to be prosperous. So where do you draw the line as it not being a good thing to preach?
Well, we have a lot of issues here because it's no longer me. I, Paul says, live, but Christ who lives within me. We realize that when Paul the apostle sold out to Jesus, he was beaten with rods, shipwrecked, day and night in the deep, all the things that happened to him. He was in peril with his own men, peril in enemies and his own countrymen. He was buffeted by Satan. He had an infirmity in the flesh. And so we have to look at the Bible. Now, it isn't that God wants to be mean to us or anything like that, but this is not our Father's world. Jesus said that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Remember when Jesus began his earthly ministry after he was baptized in the book of Luke, it says he was led up into the mountain by the Spirit, where Satan tempted him. And one of the temptations where he said to Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world are mine. Mine to whomever I want to give them to if you'll bow down and worship me. What did Jesus come to do? Redeem the kingdoms of the world. That's what he came for. But Satan offered him a shortcut. And we understand that, again, Jesus didn't say, no, these kingdoms are not yours. And so anything that would try sometimes to appeal to my flesh in religion or in some kind of Christian faith, saying, oh, you can have your cake and eat it too. There's many, many wonderful people who love God. We find Paul writing to Timothy, take some wine for your stomach and your other infirmities. Oh, man, this goes right in the face of the positive confession movement. Because again, I thought God wanted everybody to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, we find that oftentimes when people accepted the Lord, things got really bad for them. We understand this is not our Father's world. And when you become a Christian, you are swimming uphill, upstream against tremendous, tremendous demonic, devilish attacks on us. And so the idea then that, well, I just say what I want and I get it because I'm a king's kid with airco and tinted glass. Well, that's where the problem comes in, because you see, God uses us in different ways. You look in the Bible. Another example is Stephen, the first martyr, who started off in the church as a servant. Then God blessed him, raised him up, and he becomes quite a spokesman for the kingdom of heaven, insomuch that he was stoned to death. So the idea then that, oh, you know, once you slip Jesus in your pocket, baby, it all goes your way, that's not biblical. And again, when you look at how many people in the Bible, as an example, in these different historical books, Fox's Book of Martyrs and all, the people that serve God, how they were murdered and killed and tortured. So this concept of, well, you know, I'm a king's kid and I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Hey, listen, sometimes, and this is what I tell people, you know, they'll tell you, you know, take a picture of that new car, stick it on your refrigerator. Every time you walk by it, look at that picture of that car and say, that's mine in Jesus' name. Glory. Well, you know, God might be calling you to a missionary position in a month overseas. You're not going to need some Americanus Maximus. You see, it's where I believe, and to answer your question, Frank, it's where we accept Christ as our Savior, but now Jesus becomes my servant. I'm not his servant. And so I should have a right to these things. Listen, our right was surrendered at the cross. Anything I might have, anything I might do, any abilities and giftings and whatever, we surrender those at the cross. God may choose to use them. He may choose not to use them and endow us with other gifts. But unfortunately, so many people think now that I'm a king's kid, it's all my way. And so what they do is they come up with these things. I want to say conjuring, but it's almost that, where, well, if there's illness in your life, it's because there's sin in your life or you don't have enough faith. And this is why we have objections with some of these teachers, is because sometimes it's just what God has allowed to come in our life. Why didn't Paul, when Timothy was sick, saying, well, Timothy, the reason you got stomach problems, you got some sin in your life, so you better start confessing. Or he wrote to Timothy and he said, have a little more faith for your healing, Timothy, for your stomach and your other infirmities. He didn't say that. And so this is where I think the problem comes in. Now, is it true sin can make us sick? Yes. We know people that drink, they have terrible liver problems. If you can end up with lung cancer by smoking about anything. We understand that these are all issues in our world and in a fallen world. But someday in heaven, we're going to get a brand new body, that we didn't inherit any bad DNA with bad eyesight or premature aging or diabetes or something else. We're going to get a brand new body. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. And I think the Bible is replete with illustrations of people who serve God and it cost them their life, which does not fit into the positive confession mentality or thoughts.
Yeah, you know, when we come to Christ for salvation, we're repenting of our sinfulness, our rebellion against God, and then we become born again of the Holy Spirit, who asked Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? It is to produce within us the image of God, the image of Jesus Christ, which is love, which is light, which is life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, righteousness, goodness, and truth. This is the product of the Holy Spirit within us. And Jesus says, people will know you by your love. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. He's not saying it's all about money. It's all about riches. It's all about these fancy cars and all these things. In fact, Peter himself, he writes for us, which is a very important passage. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Now listen close. He says, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them out, cast them down to hell, and deliver them to the chains of darkness to reserve for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly," and so forth. So what does he say? There's going to be preachers and teachers, false teachers, that'll exploit you with covetousness. In other words, we need to covet the things of the world. We need to covet materialism. We need to covet money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not about money. It's about Jesus. It's about the Messiah. It's about our Savior. We covet him. We want to know him. We want to be changed in his image. That's what we're talking about, prospering in your soul and in all your ways as you are changed into Christ. But these guys, these false teachers, they say, "Send us your money. You need to plant some seed faith money with us. You send us $10, God will give you $100. You send $100, God will give you $1,000. They're liars. They're phony balonies. They're the ones that are milking the people. They're ripping the people off. Just like Jesus tipped over those money changers in the temple, these guys' tables need to be tipped over too. And they're liars, because you know what? They're the ones driving the fancy cars. There's the one in the big houses, multiple houses, and all these things that are going on. And it's because they're milking the people of God, and the people of God just don't know any better. They're just ignorant of what the scripture says. What does it mean to be truly born again and following the Lord Jesus Christ? This isn't a teaching of Jesus. It's not a teaching in the book of Acts. It's not a teaching that's found in the epistles. This is a manufactured teaching where they pull things out of context, and then they say, "This is how we're going to, you should be rich as a Christian." And it's always got to send your money to them. And you know what? And they call themselves faith teachers. They don't have any faith. They're professional beggars on the radio or television. They're constantly begging for more money. And then they manipulate believers to say, "This is what you need to do, and this is what you're going to get." It's a bald-faced lie. And they're greedy. And Peter, read all of 2 Peter. 2 Peter really goes after the false teachers and false prophets and so forth. It's a beautiful passage of sound doctrine, and also to recognize those who are false. Mike?
Amen. Frank, I hope that answers it for you.
Well, I think it can, but yeah, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
God bless you. And Frank, you know, I understand. We serve a good God. You know, Daryl, myself, we both had heart attacks, and many people prayed for us, and we're alive today because of that. God's good. I think God's favor is towards his people. Problem comes in when God uses us in different ways that we don't understand, that oftentimes are uncomfortable to us. We feel that God doesn't love us. And then because of that, I have to come up with a reason why. Well, I didn't have enough faith. There's sin in your life or whatever. You know, when someone says, "Well, the reason you're sick is there's sin in your life." Oh, really? So what you're then saying is every well person on this planet is right with God. Well, we know that's not true. And so these are the problems that we run into. When we accept Christ as our Savior, he then becomes our God. He is in control of my life. And I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar when they wouldn't bow down and worship his golden statue. When Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is your God able to save you from the fiery furnace?" And they said, "Whether our God saves us or not, we're not going to worship your statue." I like that. You see, they went ahead and went into the fiery furnace. And Frank, to say that God is good to his people, yes, God preserved their life. Nebuchadnezzar says, "I see a fourth in there like unto the Son of Man." Jesus was there walking in their midst. But at other times we find some 6 million Christians were slaughtered under Nero's rule. Those died for their faith. So to live is Christ, to die is gain. But these charlatans that come along and say, well, the reason you're sick or the reason this is not balanced teaching. Is it true? Can sin make you sick? Absolutely. But then again, to say a person's sick doesn't have enough faith or there's sin in their life, that's a falsism. And you wouldn't say that about a worldly person. Well, you're well and you're financially okay. You're right with God. That's not true either. So when we understand, when we look at biblical doctrine, and here it is, we have to look at the entirety of God's word. Remember, every one of Jesus's disciples died a horrible death other than John. John was boiled in oil, and because the Romans were very superstitious, they didn't want to try to kill him again, and so they exiled him on the Isle of Patmos. It was like Alcatraz was the island that he was on. And we have to understand that, and I would just recommend, Frank, a good book for you to read would be Fox's Book of Martyrs. I think that would give you the best insight that probably you could have, because it is a balance. What will God do with our lives? I don't know. But to live as Christ, die is gain. Frank, stay in line. If you like, send you out some books, some DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Shelton in Cedar City, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
So my question is, and I've been dealing with this for years. How do I get my spouse to, because she's Catholic, but how do I get my spouse to basically know the real Christianity and basically, I guess I could say, make our marriage more like the Christianity, because
sure.
right now, there's some things going on with our marriage where I kind of feel like she doesn't know a lot about the Bible. And see, I just got back into listening to the Bible on my app, and I also have a prayer request for us, because I kind of feel like there's some negative energy between what we actually believe in and whatnot. And it's kind of stressful right now.
Sure. True Catholicism is very dangerous, because they believe that the Pope is the vicar of Christ. What he says is authentic Bible, that you confess your sins to a man rather than Jesus Christ, where the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus, not a priest or a father. It is not a faith of religion in that we'll go do 10 Hail Marys, 10 Our Fathers, and you'll be forgiven. It's a personal relationship with God. The Bible says to not make any graven images, and yet oftentimes the Catholic churches are filled with graven images. So these are issues where we have to come back to, and they come to the doctrinal part. You can pray to Mary or pray to Jesus, because both are co-redemptresses. Mary's a co-redemptress. This is pagan. It is against scripture, and it's wrong. So when you feel those weird feelings, I'm sure it's not without cause. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, I would suggest to you, my friend, is continue to just really love on your wife and bless her mightily and abundantly. She needs to see the great difference in the Christian faith within you as compared to Stoic Catholicism. And then as you come across certain teachings, you can go to different websites. You'll find, you know, the false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. You can try to create a conversation periodically and find out that, say, hey, hon, what do you think about this? I was reading the Bible, and the Bible says this, but the Roman Catholic Church says this. What do you think about this? I think we need to believe the Bible. And you get her thinking. She starts to think about things. But what you first need to do is make sure that love for her and that service to her, as Christ loves us and serves us, that would be there for her. So she sees the example first, and then you're able to talk to her about those different issues a false teaching and false doctrine. It's like Jesus has called no man father on earth. Now, we have our physical fathers, yes, but the Pope takes the title Holy Father. And Jesus says there's only one Holy Father, and that's our Father in heaven. And yet the Pope takes that. But Mike, I'll give it back to you. It looks like we're at the end of our program.
Yeah, Father, we just lift up Shelton. We lift up his wife. We ask you that you would remove the veil of religion from her eyes, that she would see that you are a real person that wants to have a real relationship with her. Father, touch Shelton, and again, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Shelton, stay on the line. I'll send you out some books, DVDs. We're out of time. Lena, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. So until then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. God bless y'all. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.